You're about to listen to the Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola, who is the set man of His Worship Christian Network Global, and has been given the Word of Truth mandate amongst other mandates in order to teach the church and raise true worshipers. Now, Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola.
I have no power of my own. I confess, sing along. I confess to you, Holy Spirit. I have no power. For the last time, yes, I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own. Father, on a third layer we come to confess our inadequacies. There is a product that you want to emerge on the scene, a product that will put rest to your cravings of bringing your people into the place that you have ordained from him, first by knowledge and also by understanding, that faithful teacher of the word. We confess that we cannot come in except you bring us in. We ask that you will communicate unto us all that is meet to bring us in. And by mercy, you will empower us to function like you have prescribed for this season. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. That's the only scripture we will read. Then I will bring forth my instructions and we can be on our way home. I'm already preparing to go and preach in the evening too. Please be in church this evening. It's very important. I believe that these tools will help ministry for this evening too. And it came to pass. Sorry. Luke chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4 is what I need. Thank you. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. Let's go on. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Next verse. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Verse 4. Let's see if we need that. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. These four verses were Luke's attempt to communicate to us the marching orders of the faithful teacher of the word. So you can leave my part 3. You can leave it as part 3 or call it the marching orders. Oh no, it will be too long, Gabby. The marching orders of the faithful. No. So just leave it as part 3. But you can put in a bracket marching orders. These are the marching orders. Luke was privileged to have a friend who was a government functionary, like a minister. I don't mean a minister in church, but a minister in the political or governmental realm. And the name of this, his minister, was Theophilus. Fortunately, just like we have in our nation, this minister Theophilus was a believer. What it means is that Theophilus had received certain instructions that were strong enough to make him go through the protocols of committal to the Lordship of Jesus. So Theophilus was saved. Just like, you see, the church, like we have it here, is not supposed to be essentially an evangelistic expression, so that every day we are asking people to be saved. Every time we teach you something new, we tell you, come and give your life to Christ. There is a one-off giving your life to Christ that is supposed to attract progressive tutelage in spiritual education. Are you with me? So, I'm not saying that we should not make altar calls to give their lives to Christ after every meeting, but there are many altar calls that the one who has committed themselves to Christ must also make. E.g., in Romans chapter 10, what your committal was to his lordship and you became saved. In Romans chapter 12, it was also another invitation. Am I right? To offer yourselves as living sacrifices. This secondary call is only a call to those who have answered the first one. So there will be many calls in the lifetime that the believer will need to respond to. So there must be indoctrination beyond that which makes for the event of salvation. When people are saved, we don't just get them saved or preach to them and then they become saved and then we begin to celebrate salvation for the rest of our lives. We must teach them because there are other layers of commitment that they must come to. That was the assignment of Luke to his friend Theophilus. Now let's walk from verse 1 to 4 so that we can go to close. Luke was saying to Theophilus that this thing that I am communicating to you is not a communication that is isolated to me. Are you with me? It is believed that the Gospel of Luke, among the three synoptic Gospels, and that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was the last that was written. Are you with me? So Luke is saying, I'm not the only one that has communicated what I'm about to communicate. For as much as many have taken in hand, they have engaged the assignment to set forth in order. So a teacher of the word must understand that his work must be to bring order in a confused season. And I know that, you know, beyond the emphasis in every other season of the church, in this season, there is a requirement for men who will set things in order. There's too much confusion. People know too much of conflicting truth. He believes that he must believe to the end. But if you check his mind, a part of his mind is operating once saved, always saved. He believes that it's good to stay in prayer. But he can also say, I don't believe in long prayer. Can you see those two meetings? He believes that it's good to fast. But say, it's not really about fasting. Have you seen such people? Their systems are confused systems. It's because they think anything they hear is good. They've not reached the balance. The Bible calls them children. It's a word, Greek word, nepios. Their problem is not the multitude of knowledge, it's the absence of understanding. So they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and by the deceptiveness of men. They want to be socially correct and not kingdom correct. So they believe everything that they hear. So you believe this thing, say somehow. Can I say this to you? Many of those who are claimed to be Bible teachers, I mean in olden times, did not end their ministries as accurate Bible teachers. Godwin, that was the discussion we had last week. Many of them did not go away from Jesus. I can't give you their names, but if you study their materials, you get to a point where you find out that it looked as if some of them departed from the original convictions. It was because many of them wanted to die socially correct. That no, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And as they begin to grow old, they begin to become slack in conviction. Yoruba sọ pe agba man kina lagba man se agba man gba that as you another adage says so agba man gba means that, you know, an elderly person must not be too rigid. So many of them lost their rigidity, and the things they taught in their latter times gave birth to many errors that we are colliding with now, and the errors are difficult to correct because they have names attached to them. Are you with me? There are some things that if I teach now, the reason why you will not receive them is because somebody that is revered taught the opposite. When the enemy wants to waste a generation, he builds error around ranking men. It's for another day. Let's continue. Now, so many of them obeyed that Yoruba adage, Abamamba. There's another Yoruba adage that says that it is the adult who does not get angry that has many children. How do they say it? Olomepo. So they tell you, no, you can't be in the corrective ministry forever. You can't be this hard. Allow these guys. And I'm sure that if we enter some of your minds, you're almost regretting that God brought you to me. We want somebody who can give us expression. Somebody that can be slack with us. May God not answer your prayer. And in case you find the door, may your finding be to another man that will ensure that Jesus, against your will, profits from your life. A slack Christian has no future, because the path has been defined. What's the size of the path? He's narrow. Go by on top. May God help us. I've done, even the people Jesus recommended me to listen to, Jesus himself came and ran a disclaimer that be careful. My word is superior. When you get to that junction, at the multiplicity of many verses, you'll find out that this was the point of his going away. Those things were written for us. Just like the Bible was written for us, not to us. It means they were written for us so that we can see examples that there are few people who died consistent. Many people strayed. So there is a system in God that qualifies a man who slipped towards the end, even though his faith in Jesus was in place. They call them just men. When you justify in typing, what are you doing? You are lying. So they call them just men made perfect. It means they didn't hit 100 in God. What God did to give them 100 was to realign them, even posthumously. Because they stayed their faith in Jesus. So be careful. Me and Godwin did analysis on two ministers like that. But because this is, are we still streaming? Are people online? So let's not mention their names so that we don't start a fight that we cannot finish. But as you are reading, don't, you may be tempted to close a book because, what are you now saying again? And if you pick another book of that person, you find out that across two books, the person was conflicting. Okay. So there were many who have written of the same things that Luke was called to write. So a teacher, a faithful teacher, is not one who is called to preach what nobody has preached before. Are you with me? Your call is a call to freshness. is not essentially a call to newness. It's arrogance to think that what you are bringing, nobody has ever preached it before. You are not that good. You are not designed to be that good. So you cannot. My car can only go at maximum speed 240 kilometers per hour. I'm not willing to exploit that much. I think the best I've done is like a 160. I was trying to catch a flight. But you don't even drive 160 every day. What are you chasing? What is chasing you? But in case I need to move very fast, by design, that car is not supposed to be able to do more than 240 kilometers per hour. You can't make it do 300. By my little knowledge of mechanical engineering, if that car goes beyond 240, it will begin to disintegrate. There are bolts that we shake out of place, and one tire you now find that it's not a car, that is pieces. It was assembled. Are you with me? So please don't always want to sound new. You will soon start reading dark books to stand new. Are you with me? You can, just like prayers not led, not in the spirit, can give people darkness. Study can make people leave Jesus. So there are too many. They call some people mystics. Have you heard that name before? They call them Christian mystics. If you have their books, be careful. What they claim to possess is, they always use words like higher knowledge. Be careful. When you hear words like that, higher knowledge, higher knowledge. Some people around in the country say that the revelation of God through Christ is low, that there is higher knowledge. That's what they teach. Even though the Bible says that Jesus is the express image, the word express there is complete, is total. It has pleased the Father that in him should be fullness. But they claim that the revelation of God through Christ is a beginner revelation, and there's higher knowledge, and their churches are spreading. I hear they have picked on another state to ravish the state. Some of you will go to youth service and you will block them because it's a strategic movement. They fix their guys in the right places so that it's possible that your Bible study coordinator is a higher knowledge teacher. May God help us. Now, this is not an American ministry, it's Nigerians who, in the name of sounding of intelligent teaching, because all of them are master teachers, different ministries, it's just a network. And I won't mention who they are, but if you have been listening to them, you will know that. What is it? In finding higher knowledge, their Christian realities that they have doused. It's not a charismatic movement. It's not a power-driven movement. It's just a knowledge chanting movement, and it has not produced Christians. I can boldly say it. High-handed, arrogant, wicked, oppressive. Because if you look outside Jesus, you will not see God there. Are you with me? But when you listen the sound from heaven, the sound very sweet. If you say you are listening to us, they tell you, that's milk. You must come to eat bones. We'll block. A fight is brewing, and we'll fight it. We'll fight it with word and with spirit, because a generation must survive. It's not wrong if one generation has missed it. To perpetuate error when we are alive is wrong. So we'll not strive. But in meekness, we'll give people an opportunity to have a second chance with truth. That's why God is banking on every one of you. I told them in Ibadan last week, the only reason why I preached 9 times last week was because we are not men. The reason why I had to come back, and I will need to go back and still stand for 8 hours in the next 2 days, is because in our hearts I want to come for a contact and sit down and say, you take 2 hours, you take 2 hours, you take 2 hours. that, and I will have taught this thing. You know, there are times when I don't have plans to minister that I still minister. Because I see that truth as, there's been an attempt at truth. I'm saying all of us must labor beyond attempts. We must touch truth. Are you with me? Good. So it was a contribution in an already choked environment of teaching. People have said the things I want to say, but their labor was to set in order a declaration of those things that are most surely believed where? Not by me, but amongst us. The truth of God was gifted to a company, not to a man. Are you with me? If you claim that you are a teacher of truth, show us those that you run together, because in running together, you subject truth to scrutiny. Like I said, you mean that thing that you taught, where did you hear it? You see, as I was studying. No. When you study and you come into something that sounds new, you should go and labor with other people or go online and check how many people believed what you currently believe now, what you just received now. Those your new revelations are on Google. Go and check. On Google, you will see people who believed wrongly, like some people may be believing now. And you will see people who believed correctly. You will see on Google what happened to those who believed wrongly and those who believed correctly. You will see everything on Google. So there's nothing new under this. That thing that crossed your mind that you wrote down, maybe Timmy says next CMDA meeting. I'll show them that they have not seen this thing before. So he's expecting maybe when he begins to say it, everybody stands up and says, kai, kai. And then it's one that everybody's sitting down because he's new to you, but it's not new to us. Things. So there is a need for the teacher to set in order the things that are most surely believed amongst us. We have common belief, but in every generation there is a reason for setting them in order. Verse 2, we're almost done. Even as they delivered them to us from the beginning, as they delivered them to us, which from beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Luke did not follow Jesus as a disciple. Am I right? Good. So Luke had to relate with other disciples or with foundational apostles. As a matter of fact, he was a student of Peter. Peter was an eyewitness and a chartered one at that. And Peter was also a minister of the word. So the book of Luke was reported speech. The book of Mark too was reported speech, because there's no disciple called Mark. Was there a disciple called Matthew? Good. That's first hand. Was there a disciple called John? So it's not wrong to receive from those who were eyewitnesses. But he's saying that he's trying to validate his source. We don't want to know as a teacher. It's not supposed to add anything to you when you tell us this thing is just me and God that I collected it from. It's not wrong to preach what you heard from other people. I said it in the Bible that we labor. But what makes our labor more glorious is that we have fathers who have labored before us. I'm going to need this statement, so I'm going to give you the same way I said it. We have labored, but we are helped, because the Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, and they that are revealed are unto us and our children, so that we can do the words of this law. Our shining is because God has set us under men who have labored for us. can you help me celebrate my spiritual father, the Apostle Aaron? No, go there. I'm just telling you what I said. If you check your time, it was not a 2-minute delivery. Everything I just said now. Was it up to 2 minutes? No. Does it show that I honor my spiritual father? Does it show that I recognize his labors? That's how to acknowledge a man. You don't need 8 minutes to talk about a man. If you do 8 minutes, you have crossed from acknowledgement into what we call psychophancy. It is insincere, flat. It's not necessary. Every time you step from acknowledgement into psychophancy, you mute the flow of the spirit, because the spirit does not know how to be a psychophant. It means when you now enter scriptures again, if you don't know how to renavigate, you will not be able to hit well again. Are you with me? Younger ministers need to learn that you don't use God's altar to overpraise men. It's not necessary. It's a trend that is about to creep into a WCN, and I need to kill it. It's not wrong to acknowledge the one who teaches you or the one who leads you, but remember that the altar is not supposed to be a platform for the praise of men. If you use it well, the spirit that manages it will stay. If you use it badly, he will lift. Unfortunately, you will now need to preach without that spirit. A few weeks ago, I was talking about my expressions or knowledge into the mystery of the cross. And I acknowledged who? Dr. Nia. If you check the period, it was not more than a minute or two. Because that is what is allowable. Because as much as I acknowledge Daddy, he must not take the place of the one who himself hung on the cross. If he takes his place, the Holy Spirit is anti-human advertisement. He will go and stand on a distance. And at the end, when people have clapped, you now say, John 3:16. You will be a confused teacher, because the spirit of the word by offense has muted his activity. I told you I'm learning what on Sunday? Honor. The end of every psychophant on the pulpit is destruction. And in our own spirit family, I can give you names, but I will not, because of honor. When I see people begin to do that, I know they don't have a future. To call people what God has not called them, just so that you want to sound appealing to them. Don't do it. So, everybody hear me clearly. If you have the privilege to preach here, the same privilege I have to preach here is the same privilege you have. I also don't qualify. Do you think I know enough? Not at all. I'm stretching. So, I acknowledge God's servant, Pium. If you feel like acknowledging my wife is a good thing, you don't need to acknowledge my son. Some people do, but it's trash. What has my son contributed towards your ministry? It's zero. Are you getting me? These things are hurting God already. That's why I'm raising the issues. When did I first talk to you about these things? On Monday. Is it this Monday? What's today? It's last week. Okay, one of those early days in last week. So it's already hurting God, because we're already going by the way of strangeness. It's not HWCN culture to overpraise a man. No man deserves 7 minutes in your sermon. Because I calculate the times. No man deserves 5 minutes of your sermon. When I travel, most times in acknowledging my spiritual father, if I have spoken to him, I bring you greetings from my spiritual father, the Apostle Aaron Osai, and Papa sent his blessings for this meeting. And then we move on. No man, don't do it. Anything that makes the Holy Spirit offended will not make your labors productive. It means you will be a partial servant who is only a master of activity, but not a master of delivery. Are you even not supposed to be in school? Okay, to permission. You see, they are teaching nurses. So. do. Thank you. So, now, I'll just run those things as instructions, even as they did, which were eyewitnesses, verse 3. Help me. It seemed good to me also. It's good they told us something, but every generation must come into truth. So it seemed good to me also having, but there is a platform now for Luke's contribution. He said, it seemed good to me also. Can we read together? Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. A few years ago, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw two buildings being built, one on this side, one on this side. The builder here was my spiritual father, Apostle Aaron. He was the one carrying the blocks himself. He'll carry the block and fix it, put mortar and fix it. I just thought it was blocks. Until I looked at the other side and I saw younger ministers also build. They carry block and fix. They carry block and fix. But I had a guide in that experience and he told me, look well. What's the difference in building? And I saw that Apostle Romer's building was from the floor to the top. These guys, by some supernatural means, had no lower blocks. They were just arranging somehow the block stood. They just put one block. So it was wide, was up, but it had no foundation. It means it will not stand a storm. So the guide now told me, look closer. So when I looked, I saw that the blocks had writings on them. And when I looked at the writings, they were sermon topics that Apostle had preached. These were the kind of topics down. The way of holiness. The path of spiritual progress. That's down. The gate of salvation. So there were foundational teachings, like Luke said, from the first. Guidance of change. Immortal realm. Can you see the progression? These brothers were doing immortal realm. Because they started with what sounded spooky. What will bring them accolades? You don't pass human beings on an immortal realm. So they would do the ministry of angels without teaching the way of salvation. Even Jesus said to Nathanael that you have not seen anything. You will indeed see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And I've said to us that what Jesus was saying was that Jacob's ladder was a mystery. I am the ladder. If a ladder controls ascending and descending in the body, what do you say the ladder looks like? It's like the backbone. Everything hooks around it. Jesus is saying, I am the backbone of angelic traffic. So your relationship with the angelic dimension is supposed to be through the ministry of the Christ. He controls them. Are you with me? But you can isolate the ministry of angels from the office of the Christ. And you find out after many years that everything you said about angels was untied, the protocols in scriptures, even though your people have reality. Because many people who teach wrong angelic reality, wrong angelic doctrine, have reality. Because they have wicked spirits who ensure that you stay on the wrong path. So you can't use reality to judge the truth of angelic ministry. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible tells you all you need to know about the ministry of an angel. Everything that you don't see in the Bible about angels was not what God wanted you to know. Are you with me? There are knowledge, bodies of knowledge that are called forbidden knowledge. Because in the day a man goes into them, he becomes something after the order of God that can no longer be hosted within the government of God. That's what happened to Adam. The knowledge of good and evil is not bad because God possesses it. But it was not man's knowledge. And so man lost his habitation because he walked into something that only God can manage. Do you know that God is jealous? Who said that God is jealous? The Bible. It's God himself. I am a jealous God. Is it good to be jealous? No, if you are jealous now, is it a good thing? It means there are things that are not bad in themselves, but they are bad for man, they are good for God. Are you with me? So, from the very first, the question is, if you want to teach on power, do you understand power? From the very first. When I used to teach differentiation and integration, the first step in teaching differentiation is to draw a triangle. Have you drawn calculus before? What did you study? I don't do maths in Greek now. A little shy, in 100 level. Okay, where are the engineering people? Okay, Manuel. In calculus, you start from a triangle. Because in differentiation, what's the common word in differentiation? The y, the x. It just means difference on the y-axis, which is vertical. Difference on the x-axis, which is horizontal. Good. So you start with a triangle. And then there's something they call differentiation from first principle. You don't start from the top. You start from the first principle. So I'm asking, do you know the first principles of power? You can read it up to gain more knowledge. Do you know the first principles of grace? It may be that the confusion you are creating is because you have not mastered it from foundation. Go and search scriptures. When was the first time grace was mentioned? What did it mean? Gather together all the verses of scriptures that have grace in them and don't isolate each of the verses. When you want to read each one, put it back into its context and derive a context for it. It will help your knowledge about grace. Everybody believes that they are masters of eschatology. They know when the second coming will happen and all of this. How many people have studied it? So there is a labor not to know. Don't preach from knowledge. You are supposed to preach from where? From where? No, that's not what my Bible tells me. From perfect understanding. It means based on what God has made available to you for as information, you have exhausted them in preparing what you are doing. You can be sincere, but if your understanding is not perfect, you confuse us. So the aptitude to teach is supposed to be for those who have labored to prepare. Don't just put three verses together and say it, because the Bible can be made to say what you want it to say. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very beginning, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Order speaks of a sustained progression. I'll close with verse 4. There's a product. That thou mightest know the what? Your teaching ministry should end people's confusion. That you might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So a teacher goes beyond instruction. He explains instructions until a generation understands them. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. Now I have 10 things that I will just recite so that we go home. 10 or 12. So if you can't catch them, you can catch them in the summer. I'll stop here. Maybe some other time we'll run it. I've mentioned the first one is that every faithful teacher of scriptures must shun sycophancy. Your opportunity to minister does not absolve you of the foundational need to acknowledge those who have labored or are laboring over you, but you must not convert the podium to a platform for the praise of men. Shun sycophancy, which is insincere flattery. 2, labor into your own signs of alignment. If the Holy Spirit ministers with you, when you walk away or you displease him, you should know. You hear me teaching and I'll say, "Kai, I'm feeling the anointing already." That's my own sign. If I see anything for 10, 15 minutes and it doesn't come, I have three of them anyway. And if I don't come into any of them, I will slow down my teaching and find him. Am I in order? Because he's a personal savior, there are personalized notifications. Watch your life. In those seasons where you perceive that God is approved or approves of your life, what are the signs of approval? They will also attend to your teaching ministry so that you will not teach error for long. So labor into the signs of alignment. Three, properly work your notes. It is not mastery to stray away from your notes. If you have notes, use them. Are you with me? If you have notes, do what? You are not a superior teacher if you don't use your notes. Use them. I use notes. You see me on Sunday sometimes, literally reading from my notes. It doesn't take potency from the words. So properly work your notes in a way that even if you are lost, your notes will give you accurate navigation. Papa showed us some time ago that many times you found out that Apostle Arome goes around now with a diary where he has clearly written stuff. Sometimes he does a slim sheet of paper, and he has showed us on that sheet of paper is a few lines and a list of Bible verses. Because of much study, all he needs to do is to marry verse into verse, marry verse into verse. And in your notes, let me sound this alarm. Don't operate one verse for one point in your note. It is by the mouth of two or more weaknesses that truth is established. So IBK, if you are teaching, give them one verse, give them a second verse, but hold other verses, maybe in a bracket, another two or three. So that, like Papa used to teach, if he teaches one, say, "I'll establish this thing by two verses." When they don't understand, what does he do? It's okay. It means that I will need more verses. Those verses have been put there in case. Because you are pro-understanding, you must have extras. If we use 10 verses to solve this thing, I think I was listening to Prophet Emmanuel Makandiwa. He was to teach a subject. He read the verse of scripture, and he mentioned the subject in three lines, and even his pastors in front started grumbling. So he said, "Okay, I know what you know that is making you think I'm wrong, and I'm going to give you 50 verses of scripture to make you think you are right." So he began, "Read this one, read this one." And by the time he had finished reading, or even halfway, the pastors were smiling. He now said, "Well, I am now, he asked them if they had time. Because I am now going to give you more verses to bring balance to the 50 verses that are in your heart." He came with everything prepared, because a true teacher enters into the mind of his hearers to have scriptures that will answer the questions that may arise in their teaching. Are you with me? That's why I said it's work. So don't just write Timothy Sole. Second point, no. Timba Sole to by ye one. Malule, malule, malule. Timba son to ye one. I'll use that one too. Because you want them to get to a place of believing so that the experience of salvation can be born. Properly work your notes and stay in them except moved by the Holy Spirit. And we'll know if the Holy Spirit is moving you, because you won't confuse us. For now, hear yourself. Let me add the word, properly pay attention to what you are saying so that your errors can be few. If you have a microphone, Joel, it's possible that in speaking fast, you can say, "Jesus is not Lord, it's not even Lord, it's not even Lord," and then you continue because you are in a hurry. But if you hear that, Joel, what will you say? So Jesus is Lord, though. Say, what I mean is, it was a slip off. You don't want to leave that thing. Some people believe in you so much that they will begin to doubt that Jesus is Lord. Oh, 5. We've had that here. Labor into understanding so that you can communicate with understanding. Labor into understanding. There are sermons I project to preach because the Holy Spirit has started speaking to me, and many times there are things I've started experiencing. But if I cannot arrange my scriptures into a place where I can be fully understood, I abort the sermons and wait till when I can finish them. Are you with me? It is better that people receive understanding in delayed fashion than they receive something that will confuse them more. Amen. Stay away from what you have not fully discerned in doctrine. Don't start a doctrinal battle that you don't have the tools to complete. Don't attack the hyper grace movement if you don't understand the errors of that movement. Don't attack the Christ consciousness movement if you don't know what that movement is about. The servant of Christ must not strive. We don't fight error doctrine with fight. We fight errors with truth. So you must have a list of truth. One of our ministry sons, who is a pastor, still a pastor in the Lord, walked up to me many years ago when this immortality thing was strong. I said, Jesus appeared to me. What did he say? He said, because I am saved, I will not die physically again. I will not age again. He was my student in school. Now he's claiming this thing. I said, it's not a problem. Can you come to Bomasho? So he came. I was staying in Shalom that time. I offered him a seat. You want a bottle of water? I offered him water. Do you have scriptures for your current position? He said, I have 9 scriptures. And that's long. That's much for a doctor. He said, me, I'm an NFA. Not going anywhere. So, do you have time? Can we have your 9 verses? So for each of the 9 he gave, I gave him 4. 9, give me 1, I give you 4. 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 And then when we got to about number 6, he said he's not interested in this argument again. I said, stay. He said, because now he has realized that he is scripturally incorrect, but he is revelationally correct. That his vision is superior to scriptures. That he cannot deny that Jesus appeared to him and told him that he will not die. You know, see, me, I've seen him recently. I even have his picture on my phone. He's old. You know, when you start your journey with hair like Tolu Anemi's hair, and now somebody has bought plot on your head and has done land clearing, and you claim that you are not getting old, that thing that is taking away the ear is part of the effects of what we call the presence of sin. The fractures of that have become one with human beings that will not be taken away until he comes. So that even though he speaks in tongues, the writing of John still remains a pointer to his true reality, that even though now he's a son of God, it has not yet appeared. This is not what we look like, what we shall be. We will need to wait till you see him. And he's talking of when he appears in glory. When you see him, you shall become like him. So there is no immortal human being. And I was sharing to somebody on one of those my journeys, I think was in Adwekiti, on Akure early last week. I said, even angels cannot take the title immortal. It's not a reality that currently exists now outside the Godhead. Are you with me? The reason why we will be immortal is because we started with a nature that should have given that. We started a journey in God, in creation, that should have ended in immortality. Adam was not. If not, you cannot put corruption inside an immortal body. God is not sinless because he is not tempted. It's that God cannot be tempted because in immortality you cannot connect with iniquity. So what we have in heaven as a mediator is the man Jesus. The only reason why Jesus could be tempted was because he incarnated. Can angels be tempted? It means if Lucifer was immortal, there would have been no fall. So immortality doesn't just mean cannot die. It means corruption cannot find a place inside him. It's a reality of the Godhead. That's the future of redemption. If Adam has stayed in the class, one day in the cool of the day, God, instead of speaking to him and giving him instructions, will have taken him to a tree to say, feed of this tree. And in the day you feed of this tree, you sustain your current state permanently. That was the reason why he was evicted. Because redemption will have become impossible if a corrupt man fell from a tree that will keep his state permanent. God will have needed to wipe out man and begin again. And so he moved man out so that man will not become permanent. What he does for us is that in the new birth, he goes to open a gate of life so that we can continue a journey into the place that he wants us to be, so that we'll be like him. Are you with me? So make sure you labor to study every doctrinal issue. It's not every topic that is doctrinal. How to get married can become a church topic, yes, in a relationship meeting, but it's not a doctrinal topic. You will use scriptures to teach it, but it's not a core doctrinal topic. There is no how to get married. You can bring ideas. So you see books, 100 ways to say I do. There's no way a woman is supposed to say I do. Yeah? So there are 100 ways. And it's because that person has only gave out 100 questionnaires. Are you with me? If the person gave out 1,000,000 questionnaires, you will soon see a book, 1,000,000 ways to sleep. Is there any way to sleep? So it's not doctrinal. But how to be saved is doctrinal. There are no two ways to be saved. So we build the doctrinal issues are the sacrosanct issues. Issues that you cannot adjust. There is only one way to see God. Are you with me? Yes. Grace. The way grace occasions salvation is only one part. There are not five ways. So, when it is a doctrinal issue, I'm saying that not all teaching topics are doctrinal teachings. When it's a doctrinal teaching, do your homework well. If you are not ready, say that you are not ready. Don't teach people half truth. The fellowship of the Spirit is doctrinal. If you have not labored, don't come close to it. Don't teach salvation by grace with half truth. It's doctrinal. It's a total body of truth. So you need to labor wide to fully capture it. It can wait. Amen. All right. What else? Okay. So the simpler things now. Oh, well, there are just four left. Manage time intelligently. If you have 30 minutes to preach, you shouldn't sing for 10 minutes. If I say, Kenny, I'm very soon, you will. Don't run away. See, my wife knows Kenny's house, have you? So if you run away, we'll go and fetch you. If I say, Kenny, you're going to teach in 2 weeks, I'm not saying it, I'm just saying. You're going to teach in 2 weeks. And you're going to have 30 minutes to teach. Don't start with 7 minutes prayer. And when you finish praying, you see, I honor for another 7 minutes. What did he mean? 14 minutes. And then after honoring me, you now say, thank you, Jesus. You now start, you are the mighty God. You are an unprofitable servant. You are not a faithful teacher. When you now have 5 minutes left, you now say, say, we are pressed for time. You are not pressed for time. You showed up unintelligently. Simple. So please, past one. Ha. Jesus help me. I didn't know we had gone that far. Okay. Manage time intelligently. If you have been apportioned time, you are safer. Divide your time. Introduction. the body, the conclusion, prayer time. You've seen Apostle Roman in Wafbeck. He has laid hands on somebody's head to bring the anointing. Ah! Say, God bless you. That's the end. That's the end. Because you may not... What, the last meeting I went in the battle, it was scattering. But I was watching the time. And the man said it, that I kept to time. I don't want to waste your time. In the Lord yesterday, I had 5 points. I did only four. And I know we still needed to pray. So I always warn them, when I have 40 minutes to go, tell me. It means nose down. When I have 20 minutes to go, tell me. What I actually have to go is 15 minutes. So when I have 20 minutes to go, we enter prayer street. And then everything God wants to do, because God is a God of order. He doesn't want you to abuse people's time. So manage your time effectively. Don't waste time greeting everybody. And you now come to tell us that you don't have time. God is not happy with you. Are you with me? Okay, three more to go. Know the limits of your authority as a teacher. There are things you don't talk about in your teaching sessions. There are people you don't make reference to because you are not authorized. The microphone is an anointing of some sort. It can make people attack who they are not supposed to attack. Don't start a fight that will waste your life. It's not everybody who is doing something wrong that we can mention his name. And it's not even any wrongdoing, every wrongdoing that is under you to judge. Don't copy those who have offices of correction and think that every preacher was sent like that. Before I knew that there was such an office as a custodian, in my visions in November 7, 2004, the Lord said to me, today I make you one of the custodians of the church. And I did not fully know the meaning until I started listening to my spiritual father on the 12th of March 2016. I remember. One of the first sermons had custodian inside it. So I found out, okay, so we are like custom officers. It is from that ground I say things like, this thing is going wrong in the body of Christ because I am licensed to. Not everybody can address the body. Amen. Amen. Teach. If you have a burden, vocalize, ventilate it in prayers. Don't mingle it with your teaching. Because people bear scars when they touch some people. Amen. Good. Second to the last is that your teaching ministry is not a call to competition. We are not trying to outdo ourselves. I've ministered in a place where a younger minister who was given a couple of privileges around that season was trying to compete. And every time the person got up to compete, I laughed. Because I knew that even if he spends more hours with his Bible to read, we thrive on giftings. We also study. But if we read the same thing, we'll not be able to preach the same thing. Are you with me? So, don't compete. Be unique. Just do your job and go away. It's like me and Ori or me now, let's start competing. Oriomi is a very good preacher of the world. I'm not joking. He's a very good preacher. I know even Kenny, if she settles down, she should be able to teach very well. So I'm challenging you. Because we are looking for somebody. Abi, there's somebody we are looking for. I can share the word with you. There's a strong female Bible teacher in this house that we are looking for. The prophecy for the emergence of that person has been received. But we are still looking for her. And I trust God that before this year runs out, we'll find her. Jesus is telling us that he has invested so much capacity in that person. I don't know who the person is. I just hope that the person is in the house this morning. To know how to blend the edges, the rough edges, so that person can... It's a female. But the person is supposed to be able to teach. And the person is not in those higher levels. So I don't know who the person is. If you are the one, we are helped. But we are waiting for that person to emerge so that we can have some degree of rest. So there are many teaching brothers, Abi, but there's this one we take. Do you know that the Nigerian church does not have many strong female teachers? Thank God for people like what's this? This our new sensation now. This small lady, Emisi, what's her son name? Owolabi. When I listened to her a little, my heart had peace. That finally our sisters are leaving sisters' ministry and are beginning to teach the word. Now some of them are believing that God didn't send them to teach relationship. I know she does some relationship too, but she's still strong with the word. There are many other names. It's just that that's where my own heart is for now. That's my new female. And one day I will walk into her. So that maybe before Faith leaves school. What level are you now? 3. Also, I have 2 years to get Mr. Olabi to promotion. And Jesus will order my steps in the time. We'll just block maybe in the airport or somewhere. And say, I'm not a fan. I just love Jesus. It won't be hard in a season. So we're waiting for that person. So don't compete. Competition kills your uniqueness. Kills your uniqueness. It blocks your wells of revelation. Because now it's no longer about the Christ. It's about what people feel about. The final one I hear is that when you teach, do not seek appraisal from men. Or maybe put it this way. Do not teach to be appraised or rewarded by men. See, let me preach very well so that they can give me more money. Don't do it. I went for a conference with Daniel. And if Daniel is listening, he will remember. I ministered day one, I ministered day two, and we started coming. And they gave us honorarium, a particular amount. So, well, Daniel didn't know what they gave me, but I have a way of giving part of my honorarium to whoever participates in my ministry. So he now said, no, don't give me money, don't give me money. I said, why? He said, because it's a privilege to come on this trip with you. I mean, I was even thinking of giving you money for fuel. I said, don't worry, you're a wise man, but just take. What I gave him was double of the fuel money. I said, don't worry. He said, he will still send the fuel money. I said, well, me, I've given you to come back. The overseers of that ministry were not in the country. They actually watched the service from where they were. So when they came, they now sat down to watch the service. They now called the pastors at home and said, come, how much did you give this man of God as honorarium? When they mentioned it, the husband and wife together said, you dishonored him. This kind of sermon, you're supposed to double that honorarium. So they had to call me and say, send your account number back. And they moved the money the same day. How can you do this? God is the one who rewards you even when people dishonor you. If you preach long enough, people will write a check for you that will bounce. If you preach long enough, they will give you an envelope. You will think it's a check that is inside it. When you open it, you will see, thank you for coming. It will be a note. If you preach long enough, you will collect an empty envelope. Empty envelope. There will be nothing inside it. They'll just put it in your Bible, on your tab. You know, that way you'll be feeling the edge of the thing that. Oh, I know who see. The badele waripe ko sink kanne honorable many envelope here. Isaac, if you preach long enough, they will tell you to drop account number. You know, dropping account number means that the money is too huge to collect by hand. Abi, if you don't know how to look away, every text that comes into your phone, you'll be going to check, and it's because you are seeking for men. God is the rewarder. So don't do it so that if money becomes a motivation, you will soon become a minister of men. You will say what makes them happy. You will time the people who look rich in church, the ones who have shiny wristwatches. And when you know that they are Yahoo boys, you will avoid them in the sermon because you don't want to spoil their emotions. I preached in a church, was in this same city of Ibadan. I preached for 2 hours. And they gave me an envelope, was about 3-4 years ago. The envelope was very slim. I mean very slim. And it was not dollars that was inside, it was naira. They didn't choose a high denomination. You know, slim 1,000 could be big money. When people know that I'm a slave of slim, they'll put 200 naira there so it will swell. Let me not teach you these things. People are smart. If they want to give you 200 naira and they want it to be big, they won't give you new notes. I hope you know that old note takes more space than new note because it has become swollen. So that's what they gave me. It was slim, even though it was a low denomination. And while I was trying to find my way, a young man walked out of the church. I don't know why he brought that amount of money to the church. It was one of the members in good standing in the church. A married man. He came with almost a bundle of money. He must have pulled out 3 pieces or 4. Rolled it like that. And just met me when I was waiting for the car. God prevailed on me to give this to you now. What? What he gave me was almost 6 times what the church that hosted me gave me. Because he sees and he rewards. If I was doing this thing for a reward, you know, people don't teach like this and collect 10,000 naira. Have you seen that every teaching meeting now has money attached to it? Whether people understand or not. Some people say that if you don't put money, they will not value it. You paid money to receive the life of Jesus. Abi? What are we teaching that is more valuable than that life? My brother, if you are isolated and there's nobody to teach you, this life can teach. Are you with me? It can teach. The unction has an educational system. We are doing our bit so that educational system can be steered. Please, do not teach or do ministry for an earthly reward. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love. But don't live for a natural reward. God will reward us in heaven. Please bow down your heads. My time is up. Father, I commit these precious ones unto you and unto the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and apportion unto them an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. Let the God who raised our fathers unto truth become their God in the name of Jesus. There is a scarcity of teachers in the body of Christ. Men with a genuine burden to communicate the words that birth the experience of believing and the ultimate experience of salvation. I ask that you will breathe upon this company. And you will force an emergence of men after that sort in the name of Jesus. Most of what we will know will be grown in our private altar. So I ask that the wisdom to invite you when we approach unto your word will be made permanent in us. And as we call, please answer us. Let the graces, the giftings that make for accurate teaching ministry rest upon these precious ones. Thank you. Because AWCN is blessed and the body of Christ is helped. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. So, Jerry, it means we'll have...
I believe that you have been blessed by God's word from the mouth of His choice servant, the Reverend Tolu Alugo Agboola. To get more of this nourishment for your spirit, you can follow us on social media at HWCN Global on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Mixlr, and Telegram. You can also follow all our services live on any of these social media platforms. Keep doing the word. Keep being a fair worshiper. God bless you.